Good morning.
Morning.
Such a pleasure, joy for me to be here with you today.
Amen.
We moved to Covenor Hills in Pottstown in 1978, and since that time I have known the congregation here, many members here, various opportunities that we've had to be together. I dearly loved and appreciated Paul and Mildred Cantrell.
Amen.
They were a great influence on me, and we had a great relationship. Perhaps Kenneth Hoover spoke last week, is that correct?
Yes.
Wonderful. Kenneth and I were classmates at Fried Hardeman back in the dark ages, in the mid-50s. And it's a joy to have him in this area and to see him and spend some time with him. I'd like to encourage you to attend our lectureship this year. For 22 years, we've had this lectureship, except for 1 year when the roof caved in on the building and we couldn't have it. And so this is the 21st annual Southeastern Pennsylvania Bible Lectureship hosted by the Covenor Hills Church in Pottstown. It's about an hour and a half drive over there, and we've changed the format this year to Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and that perhaps will give more people an opportunity to be there with us on Saturday. So I'd like to encourage you to look over the schedule. I've left one here today, and it'll be posted on the bulletin board. Doug is speaking twice on that program, and we would encourage you to come and be with us at that time. My assignment today is the master teacher. We've come to this point in God's love story, and I must say I appreciate so much you're doing this program, you're reading, you're studying about the love that God has and the way he has shown that love down through the centuries. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's the ultimate expression of God's love. Jesus, the master teacher. How many of you have seen a bumper sticker which says something like, "Jesus is Lord"? I've seen that many times. I'm sure you have. Have you ever seen a bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is teacher"? I've never seen that. I'd like to rephrase our title today just for your thinking a little bit. Instead of the master teacher, what if we thought about the master, comma, teacher? That changes the meaning a little bit, doesn't it? When I see the title, Master Teacher, I think about Jesus being the ultimate teacher. And he was, and we talked about that in Bible class today. What a great teacher he was, and a pattern for us also. But the essence of his ministry was teaching. He taught. And we'll see that as we develop this lesson today. One preacher said, God only had one son, and he was a teacher. We often think about Jesus, the preacher, and he was a great preacher, but Paul was perhaps who we think about when we think about a great preacher. We think about Barnabas and his goodness, his compassion, his love for people, demonstrated in so many different ways. And Jesus was compassionate. But Jesus really is known for his teaching. And so let's think about that this morning. If you have your Bibles, open with me. This is my Bible. I'm 78 years old, and I learned to appreciate the electronic age. So if you have your Bible, either electronically or in print, turn with me to John chapter 3. This is going to be our starting point here, but we'll jump from this to many other things. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus at night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, if you mark in your Bible, I would encourage you to mark some words in this text. If you have an electronic edition such as a spiritual sword or the e-sword, which I have on my iPad, you can mark these particular words. The first word is rabbi. It simply means teacher. And then the second word is teacher. We know that thou art a teacher. Then I would suggest the next phrase is come from God. A teacher come from God. And then underline the word miracle here. And this is what Nicodemus is saying. We know from the demonstration that you have given in your life, in particular the great miracles that you perform, that you are a teacher who has come from God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Let's read another text. The Pharisees love this greeting, rabbi, teacher. And they were teachers. But as we studied in our lesson this morning in Bible class, they were not the kind of teacher that Jesus was, and not the kind of teacher that Jesus teaches us to be. So let's see it here in this text. Well, let's just drop down to verse 6, Matthew 23 and verse 6. They love the uppermost seats at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace to be called rabbi, rabbi. And then he says in verse 8, do not be called rabbi, for one is your master, Christ, and you are all brethren. Neither be called father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, Christ. Now, I'd like to talk about these terms here for just a moment. I think it's important when we study about Jesus, the master teacher, and what he says to us about teaching. The word master here, when Jesus says, do not be called master, is a compound Greek word, the first of which means to be a guide or a teacher. But the second part of that compound word, according to Strong's dictionary, means to be under or to distribute with intensity, to assume a position. And so when Jesus says, do not be called rabbi, he's thinking about how the rabbis of his day loved to be called rabbi. They love to exalt themselves. They love to look down on others, considering themselves to be better than others. And that's why Jesus says, don't be called rabbi. Now, look at another verse, and we'll see John defining this word rabbi for us in John chapter 1. Let's just flip through a couple of chapters of John here. So flip over to John chapter 1 and verse 38. Jesus turned to them following him and said unto them, What seek you? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is being interpreted, Master. You'll see that same greeting given to Jesus in John chapter 20 and verse 16. And you see again, John, for his Greek audience, is interpreting this word rabbi. Rabbi, which means teacher. In this particular case, rabboni, which is a little bit different than rabbi, but essentially means the same thing. And then in chapter 20 and verse 16 of John, that is repeated. And in each case, Jesus is defining that word, or John is defining that word. Now, interestingly enough, the word master or rabbi, when Jesus forbids its use, is a different word than is used here in this text when Jesus is called master or teacher. That is the word diaskalos, which means simply a teacher. And so teachers of Bible classes and you preachers, if there are any here or former preachers, when you are called teacher, that's not what Jesus was forbidding. He was forbidding being called teacher in an exalted way, to lift yourself up above others. And of course, we see that demonstrated. I think we can clearly see it in the religious world sometimes today. Now then, turn with me to John chapter 13. Notice how Jesus accepts this term, not the compound word, which means to exalt yourself as a teacher, as the rabbis did. They loved to be called Rabbi, the Exalted One. But Jesus accepted this term, John 13, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then be your Lord and teacher, and have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet also. This is the word didakalos here, the Greek word, simply meaning a teacher. The word Lord here is kurios, which means to be the supreme one. So Jesus did not tell his disciples that they should be lords, but he did tell them that they should be teachers, simply teachers as he was a teacher. Now, from these verses that we've looked at so far, let's draw a conclusion. From what Nicodemus said, and from what Jesus said about the rabbis using the term teacher, and from what he assumed for himself, the word teacher, here's what we learn. That Jesus was called teacher, and that he assumed that title because he was given that privilege and responsibility and title, authority, from God himself. He came from heaven to impart God's message to man. And he taught us. He was not only the messenger, but he was the message. He came the embodiment of what God wanted us to know. He was God in the flesh. And so when they saw Jesus, they saw God personified in the flesh. He is deity. He is God come to be among us. John makes that clear in his gospel, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In John 6, verses 44 and 45, we learn that Christianity is a taught religion. Jesus said, Everyone who has heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. You cannot become a follower of Jesus without being taught. Amen. And Jesus came to teach us what we need to know about God, what we need to know about how to come into a right relationship with God, and we must be taught. No one can become a Christian without first being taught.
Yes, sir.
Taught who God is, taught what God wants us to do to come into a relationship with us. Look at John 15 with me, in verse 15, very hurriedly. John 15 and verse 15. Jesus proclaimed, and he does this repeatedly. Notice toward the end of the verse, simply, "All things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And so when we talk about Jesus being a teacher, we're talking about one who was deity, who came in the flesh to convey to us what the Heavenly Father wanted him to convey to us. In John 7 and verse 16, he said, "My doctrine is not my own, but his who sent me, the Heavenly Father." Jesus often said, "It is not my will, but thine that must be done." And so he came to do the will of God, to teach the will of God to each one of us. The term teacher is used of Jesus about 61 times in the New Testament, in all of its forms. But Jesus never had a classroom. He never had a textbook. He never had an electronic device. He never had even a printed book as we know it. They were scrolls back in those days. He had the Old Testament scrolls. Jesus taught about 30 some odd parables, and he performed over 30 miracles. So when Nicodemus said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles except thou doest, that thou doest except God be with him." So he sent from God and is demonstrated to be that by what he taught. There were reactions to Jesus' teaching, like what the synoptics all record. After Jesus had taught something, they were astonished at his teaching. They marveled at what he taught. And the reason they marveled is because what he was teaching came with authority, and they recognized that it was coming from God.
Yes.
Now, with all that, and we could say much more about Jesus being a teacher, I want us to focus today on a particular portion of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Not the one that we studied in class and not the reading today, but Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21. So turn there with me, if you would, please. And let's look at this. And I want to suggest this morning that we look at it with new eyes. I've seen this text, I've preached this text for many times over a period of my 60 years of preaching. And usually, I confess, the way I viewed this text and taught this text was external. I was thinking about someone else. I was thinking about how things are going in the religious world. But let's come back, if you would, please, and look at this text with new eyes. "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many mighty works, wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he's like a wise man that built his house on the rock." And you know that story. Wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand, and when the storm came, the house that was built on the rock stood firm. The house on the sand, of course, fell. And amazingly, in verse 29, after that reading, it is said, or verse 28, actually, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. So even after this particular teaching, the people were astonished. Now let me add to that the verses preceding that in chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. Just flip that back with me to that and look at it. Enter into the straight gate, said Jesus, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there are who find it. Of course, the word straight here in the King James Version means narrow. And so it's translated that way in the New King James and other translations. So Jesus says, enter into a very narrow gate, because few people find that narrow gate that leads to heaven. Now, essentially, what Jesus is saying here is, obey what I have taught you, because that has come from God. And that is the only way to get to heaven. I am the way, the life, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, says Jesus. He is that narrow way that leads to heaven. Now, the fresh eyes that I want us to use here this morning is the personal application of these verses. If what Jesus says is true, and of course it is, that even though we may say, Lord, Lord, and even though we may do a lot of good things, we may not have a relationship with God which we assume that we have. The only way that we can assure that we have a right relationship with God is what Jesus says. He that hears these sayings of mine and does them, that is the one who will enter into heaven. Now, along with that, I'd like to look at those two verses in chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. That gate is narrow. It's restricted. Let's not be ashamed of the fact that there is one way to heaven, that there is only one way to be saved, that the Lord gave us one way of salvation, and that's the only way of salvation. Jesus said it himself. Let's not be ashamed of the one narrow way to heaven. And that's found in the words of Christ and the inspired teachers of the New Testament, of course. One way to heaven. Now, look at this, and here's the lesson for us. Jesus said, although you do some right things, some good things, I would translate that like this. Although you come to church on a regular basis, although you contribute to the church, although you are involved in some activities of the church, you still might not have a relationship with Christ. You see, the relationship with Christ is not what we do externally necessarily. Now, we're going to do those things if we have right relationship with God. But the relationship with God comes in being born again, in doing what Christ tells us to do. All of that is boiled down to one word: disciple. Yes, sir. Jesus is our teacher. We are the learner. And so the question this morning is, are you a disciple of Christ? I get awfully discouraged today when I hear the language that we use. We talk about going to church, not going to church, all kinds of external things that we do. We call ourselves Christians, and that's a common term and a good term. It does describe the fact that we are in Christ or we follow Christ. But the word disciple is a word that connects us with the master teacher. He is the teacher. We are the learner. And so I ask you this morning a very personal question. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? A disciple is one who hangs on the words of his teacher. A disciple is one who follows his teacher wherever he goes. Do you know Christ? Do you know him in the sense of your personal relationship with him? Do you study his word? Are you eager to study? I know that when I was growing up, I got to the point in my life where my parents said, "We're going to church today." And I said, "You may go, but I'm not going." And that was before I learned to be a disciple of Christ. And now, when it comes time to have Bible study or to worship, there's a longing in my heart. I live right next door to the church building, although I'm not preaching full-time anymore. It's easy for me to get over there for Bible study. And sometimes I don't feel like going. Sometimes I have, you know, it's difficult for me to get up and get ready to go. But you know, when I go, I feel a lot better. Amen. When I get home, there's a great joy in my heart. It doesn't matter who's teaching or what subject we're studying that day. There's a joy there because I want to be a disciple of Christ. I want to follow my teacher. I want to be like him. I want to learn about him. I want to learn how to follow him every day in my life. Not just one day a week or maybe even 2 days a week if you come Sunday and Wednesday night to Bible study, but every day in my life. Jesus is my teacher. Jesus, comma, teacher. He is the great teacher. And we are disciples of Christ if we really, truly are following him. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Have you done his will? If you're here today and you've never come into a right relationship with God through Christ, you should respond. We hope that you will respond to him today. Here, you need to hear about Christ, and you need to believe that he is indeed the Son of God. The Bible teaches you to confess his sweet name, and finally to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, to arise to walk in newness of life. If you haven't done that, then you're not really following Jesus. You're not a disciple of Jesus. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," but who does the will of my Father. Would you do the will of the Father today if you're out of Christ? And if you're in Christ and your discipleship is lacking, renew your relationship to him. Confess that to the Lord. Let your brothers and sisters know that you want your relationship to God to be real, genuine, deep in your heart. And you're coming to make that known and to make it right with God. If you need to respond to this invitation this morning, the Lord invites you to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The master teacher invites you this morning. Would you come as together we stand and sing this song?